Jocelyn. The station at Thwaite was a one-platform village halt with a single sad-looking flower pot and not even a shelter from the wind. Jocelyn was waiting on the platform, and Margot felt a sudden, unexpected rush of love at the sight of her, her hair falling down out of her hat and her hand-me-down coat hanging rather lumpishly at the back. Darling Joss, it was lovely to be somewhere where people loved you. The sisters embraced. Hello. Hello yourself. Where's Mother? Presiding over schoolroom tea. Ernest Strain got in just after luncheon. You remember what a beastly lot of fuss there always is. Heavens, yes. They exchanged rueful glances. You'd think no child had ever been sent away to school before Mother's boys. Stephen home yet? Not till next week. Is that all your things? Father's got the car this afternoon, so we'd better find a porter to take them up to the house. Fancy us with a car. Margot gave her younger sister a real smile. Oh, look, there's a porter there. I say! The suitcases safely handed over, the sisters set off through the village towards home. How lovely it was to be back. Each time, the feeling of home surprised her. The clear air, so different to the coal smoke of Durham. The dales above the village, and the fields below. The particularly Yorkshire scent of frost and sheep farming countryside. Home. The vicarage was a rambling, early Victorian affair. It had been built in the days when vicars were expected to produce 8 or 9 children for the good of the empire, and, Margot's mother often said, had been bleeding its occupants dry ever since. It was a huge, draughty building, forever in a state of general disrepair. The chimneys smoked, the windows rattled, and it was furnished with a mixture of dilapidated odds and ends left behind by previous vicars and their families. It was always cold, even in the middle of summer. In winter, ice froze in the bedroom jugs and on the window panes, and everyone had chilblains, despite untold layers of woolen underwear and petticoats. 4 children still at home, and the perpetual impossibility of finding servants, on top of her duties as the vicar's wife, meant their mother lived in a state of permanent exhaustion. The garden was a tangled wilderness of fruit trees, chickens, and scraggly vegetables. The Allen children were accepted eccentrics. Bright, bookish, and insular, their childhood had been one of private games and fierce alliances. Margot had always been the odd one out. While her siblings were angular and awkward, and, why not say it, plain, Margot was something of a beauty.